I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast. Welcome to the podcast Stories You've Missed, accounts of God's amazing grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. Today, my guest is Dr. David Grubbs. David is an assistant professor of English at Houston Baptist University. He's the husband of Katie, a PhD and professor in her own right, and the father of four kids, and I'll let you say their names.
Arden, Baron, Cadman, and Deira.
And he is a host and panelist on the Christian Humanist Podcast. And he, lastly, is a regular Sunday Bible study teacher here at Grand Parkway. Mm-hmm. Welcome, David.
Oh, thank you.
And you're joining me today to explore a little bit of how you've experienced God's grace as a special needs dad.
That's true.
So give us a little lineage of that.
Well, all children have needs and all children are special, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about children who often they have developmental conditions, medical conditions, limited mobility, medical fragility. There's many different reasons why we might say this is a child with special needs. And every case is different, and it leads to a different experience. In our case, we have two children who are were diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders. They aren't the same, and the experience of being their father.
Same genes, same family.
Yes.
Same quote-unquote diagnosis, but not the same at all.
Right, right. Dunked from the same gene pool, yeah. And yet. This is one of the things that I've learned, and maybe this is a good place to start, is that there is no one experience for being a special needs parent, for being a special needs father. Every situation is distinct, and it calls upon you to be responsible and loving in different ways.
In some ways, our undercurrent culture would say, that's too bad. You must have, rolled the dice and crapped out. You got a harder life.
Right.
Say briefly how you've experienced maybe the opposite of that, how I've gotten God's grace in this experience.
God has been kind to us throughout. The first inkling that we had of difficulty was in speech delays and in speech idiosyncrasy. And at the time, we thought when our son was around two and he had almost no words, and when our daughter was around four and she spoke a lot, but she spoke mainly in terms of quotations from film, from film and television shows.
I got a couple of friends like that.
It's called echolalia, and it can be very very frightening to a parent to hear their child only what seems to be at first parroting back to them.
Yeah.
But give it time. It becomes at first it seems random, and then it becomes contextual. Then it becomes a bridge into improvisation of coming up with your own words and sentences. But for us, the diagnosis first of our son and then of our daughter was actually an enormous relief. Because up until that point, we had mainly put the onus of their situation on ourselves. We had somehow failed in our ability to teach, to expose our children to the right enriching material.
I'm an English professor.
Right, exactly. We're word
don't
people.
Don't I get paid to do this? Yeah.
So in some ways, one of the first ways God was gracious to us was by providing us with advice and then with medical professionals who could come alongside and say, this is the situation that you've been dealing with the whole time. That was really one of the first and most important steps of grace in our process, was realizing this wasn't our fault. Instead, it was a way that God had ordained in his kindness, in his sovereign kindness, to make a person in this way, and then would give us the opportunity and the responsibility to love them well and wisely.
Say something briefly about how the inverse of I rolled the dice and came up snake eyes, and you know, versus you know what, actually, what may appear like that to other people, we wouldn't change anything.
Well, I mean, we are both and have been since before we had any children. We always knew that whether we had children and the children we had, it was all in God's hands. And the illusions of control that much of modern medicine has, the fact that you can sort of take a look into the womb and things like that, it can create this illusory sense of parental control in the process. But Bible makes it clear, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, not by our parents, but by our God.
Psalm 139, you're referencing there.
Knitted together in the womb by the one who knows us most intimately. And so as a parent, I receive that child as a gift from that God who made them that way. So we were blessed to be able to have that perspective before we had children. It was tested. It's tested consistently. But that was one way in which we were preemptively blessed.
Is there a regular rhythm where you feel like you're experiencing blessing or grace from God in this experience?
The rhythm comes with every... Parents are used to thinking in terms of developmental milestones. My child can now do this, or my child stops doing that. Because of...
Or they're above the curve of others or below the curve
of others. Right, right. And we're yes, all of that. Well, and even our other children, because, you know, two of our children have diagnoses with autism spectrum disorders. Two of our children are, so far as we can, as we have any evidence, are neurotypical. Have had no indications that we would need to seek some sort of diagnosis similar to their siblings. But what that means is that for every milestone of development, it's different for them. And it means that, I mean, just, you know, real talk. I have a 5-year-old son who cannot control his bodily functions and has to wear pull-ups. That is not a source of embarrassment for me because he's my son and I know his story. But when I'm in public and we're in a space where others see and know, I feel this sense that, you know, I wish I could tell them the story. Right. I wish that they understood. And with every developmental milestone that a child with special needs does not meet in the same way that that peers do, it's a time where I have to kind of lay expectations down again. You know, once again, part of me, part of what I thought the future would be, has to die. But that's also ordinary human experience. What we thought was going to happen has to die all the time.
You know, talking about this,
and that's a grace
topic. I look up some scriptures. You mentioned Psalm 139, 1 Corinthians 1, you know, 26 and following, talks about the things we would esteem most in the world. God's not really looking for. He's not recruiting. You know, the top 0.5% of 1% of, you know, all human beings. And so not many of you are wise by human standards or influential. Not many of you are noble birth, but God chose it's foolish in this world to shame the things that are wise. And what hope would you give to someone in a similar circumstance who might just be beginning a journey? You have been walking for a while, you and Katie, or someone who's maybe fearful of that.
what I've experienced, and again, everyone's experience is different. It's distinct. What Katie and I have experienced is that what we feared as we looked ahead to the future and worried about it, that God was there, that something would happen, not necessarily to mitigate the fear, so that it doesn't happen, but so much that we're prepared for it, we're equipped for it. There's some provision for not for escape, but for endurance. Okay. That's been part of the experience. The other thing that I would say to someone who is entering a life as a parent of a special need child, or worries that because of perhaps you've waited until you're older to have children, or you know that there's some kind of genetic legacy in your family that you're wondering about. God very seldom makes us strong enough to bear things before they're upon us. I have never been ready for what was happening to me before it happened. Part of the experience coming upon us is what has made us into the people who are able to bear it. And any parent knows this. You have one kid and your life is so full, and you look at people with two kids and you think, how do they do it? Well, you become able to be a parent of one child, two children, three children, whatever. You become able to do it by doing it. It is the experience that God uses to equip you. And so don't be afraid because you go into this experience not feeling ready. It's the experience that God uses to make you ready. This is fashioning you.
I'll try a little exercise here. How would you explain this, that same sentiment, to a 9 or 10 year old? Often I need things in simple terms.
Well, and I have an 8 year old, so I'm on the cusp of having to explain things to a 9 or 10 year old. God is kind, and in his kindness, he is strong enough and good enough to give us what we need, but he's also smart enough to know when is the right time. And just as parents do not just sort of dump every good gift on their child preemptively or when they ask for it, but have a sense of timing. This privilege comes after this responsibility. Things like that, that God is also wise in the way that he times, the way that he considers when to provide for us in what ways. And so it's what Jesus said. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, not just what gifts to give them, but how to give good gifts, how much more will our Father not also be gracious to us? And in the parallel passage, gift us with the Holy Spirit, right? So grace is coming from without, and grace is rising up from within, the power of the Spirit.
Well, that seems like a great spot to end our conversation on this. I want to thank you, David, for being with me today, and know that our listeners will be encouraged by this little insight into grace, especially those facing similar circumstances.
Thank you.